from the Commonwealth of Virginia. You're listening to a Virginia Society for Technology and Education podcast.
Hello, folks. I am at the 2008 VIMA conference, which is being held this year in Richmond, Virginia, and I bumped into two friends, Heather Blanton from Wise County and Bea Cantor from Goochland, who are both instructional technology resource teachers, and they're here at this conference that's basically focused on media specialists and the role they play in schools. And they were part of a panel discussion on school filtering, getting around the filters, and that was organized by another VISTE member you may know, Karen Richardson. And I'll start, Heather, talking to you about what did you share with folks today? What kind of information did you communicate about how filtering works in your county?
Well, we use the AE6 box technologies, and I really stressed in the presentation that it doesn't matter what technology you're using, what filtering system you're using, the human factor is most important, and that we still have to maintain monitoring. We have to teach our teachers how to use and how to monitor students and their usage online.
And B, would you agree with that?
100%. It doesn't matter what you do, the kids are going to find a way around it, and no filtering system will be better than a well-planned lesson with a well-defined objective that keeps the kids engaged and on task.
I think one of the things we found out today that all the school divisions that we talked with and folks we met from different school divisions, except one, all requires logins for students. And Heather, why is that a good idea in your estimation?
Well, when you have individual student logins, it kind of takes out the guesswork about offenders and if there's any question about questionable sites, any questionable activity online. If you have unique logins, they can be tracked to students. And people can be held accountable, and students and teachers as well can be held accountable for where they're visiting, and it makes enforcement of the acceptable use policy much easier.
We talked with several people from large school divisions, and what happens in a large school division sometimes, you get sites blocked that you'd like to get to, and we have a way of getting around that in Goochland for our teachers, not our students. What were some of the other concerns you heard be in the session from folks who attended today?
Well, when you don't have a very well-defined policy for blocking, sometimes teachers are used to having access to something, and the day they're going to teach a lesson, all of a sudden it's blocked, and it's not lack of planning on the teacher's part, it's just not well-defined policies in blocking and unblocking. But I can see how that is easier in a small district like ours. Somewhere bigger, there isn't an easy way for somebody to get a hold of the person who'll be in charge of unblocking what you need.
Now, what's the policy in Wise County if there's a site you want to use, let's say it's brand new, and for whatever reason your filter's picked it up, you guys haven't looked at it yet, and a teacher wants to use it, what kind of procedure did they go through to get that unblocked?
Well, in Wise County, you when you hit a site that's blocked, you're automatically going to go to a splash screen that's going to give you the option to contact the technician to supply them with the URL for further investigation and possibly unblocking. You're not guaranteed that the site will be unblocked. It goes into review. We have two technicians that review. If they have any questions, they take it to the instructional staff. Usually within 24 hours. We have a pretty good turnaround within 24 hours. Sometimes during the day, it's a lot faster than that.
B, how does that compare to how it works in Goochland?
It's pretty much the same. If a teacher gets to a site that is blocked, the teacher will have the power to override the block with the teacher credentials. Students don't get that. So if there's something that the teachers want to get to and it's blocked, they have the possibility of asking to have it unblocked, and then they have to wait for other people to review the site and decide. Or using a projector or a Promethean board, they can just access the website themselves and share with the students that way until something has been decided later on.
And one last question for you both, and B, I'll start with you. Do you guys feel the filter gets in the way of doing your role as helping teachers use technology to enhance and empower the educational process in your schools?
Not in my school division.
I don't think it deters from the job. I think there's times that it becomes frustrating for the teachers time-wise, but with well-planned lessons and holding to those curriculum guides, I can kind of look ahead and see if there's going to be a problem, and we can get that taken care of. I think with well thought-out plans, then no, it doesn't at all. It protects the teachers and it protects our students.
Well, thank you both for your time today, and have a great afternoon. For folks, if you're interested in learning more about what transpired here today, there is a wiki, I believe, that was set up. It's filtering.wikispaces.com, and if I made a mistake, I'll fix it when I edit this, but thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.